born again, I didn't have a good foundation, a belief system. I believed, the world trains you without God. I mean, you're out in the world and however things are going, in the world, that's the way that you're living life, and life will train you, or drugs will train. I was trained to be the TV trained me to be a drug dealer. I wasn't no big one, but I was coming up. I'd watched it on TV before I got saved, and I like partying. We worked for the weekend, partied, and everything. But I watched it on. I mean, all the drug dealers had the bling bling and the Rolexes and on the TV, and had the fast cars and different things, and so I tried picking tomatoes and all kind of stuff, just couldn't make enough money to get all the stuff. So I thought, the enemy has, just like he does today, had me to have this thought, well, sell drugs, and then I won't have to buy no marijuana, I'll cut out what I want and skip a little here or there, and I'll sell it and I'll make money, So that's what I started doing, But what I'm saying is, see, the TV and the world and it's built in me and you to prosper. By God. I mean, God, we're created in His image and likeness. It is in us, even if we're not serving God, to have a good life. Have you ever noticed people? I mean, they work four jobs to have cars and how they want to prosper, right? I mean, they want to have a good life, have a family, have a home, But without God, this world will lead you down a road of destruction. It'll lead you down a road, even if you do have those things, that's not what life's about. Life is about having those things and having life in here. Right, seeking the kingdom. So a good foundation, well, after I got born again, that is why everybody, I'm going to get on church again. That is why everybody that gets born again needs to be faithful. Somebody say faithful to church, to the assembling. The reason why, one of the reasons why, is because God is faithful, like Doris said. Things going on in her life that I don't know nothing about, and I don't reckon Teresa knows nothing about. I don't know if she does or not. We don't, But God brings the word in the season that you need it, or before you need it. What is He doing? He's building a good foundation in mine and your life for the time to come ahead of you. Not necessarily bad, just life. But God wants us, and God's already got the chief cornerstone. He's already laid the rock. And His name is Jesus. And if you are born again, you need to be in a good Bible-based church. And if you are out of church and you have been to church, you need to get back in church, because your foundation can crack. Not Jesus. That's what you're building on, that foundation. It has to be maintained. It has to be built. The foundation is the Word of God, but that is part, going to church is part of your service, your commitment to the Lord. That is your part of one way of taking up the cross and following Him. Denying ourselves. Denying myself. The Bible says, because in Matthew 24, it says, because the love of many will wax, it says the love of many will wax cold. And it also says they will cast off restraint. You know what that means? I'm not going to love one another anymore. I'm not going to church. And you don't have to go to church. We see that more and more, especially as we got this media that we've got, these gay rights and this Pride Day and this, all of this stuff, and I'm not eating at some of those places anymore. You want to go and back all that stuff up? You are against God. And I'm not going to come over and pad your wallet. It's just not going to happen. Well, if I don't got a good foundation, I'll be like, we're not supposed to offend anybody, and we're not supposed to, you know, or, God understands, you know, I don't have the gas money to go to church. Well, you ain't called us. I have paid people's way to this church for month after month after month. Bought it out of my own pocket to make sure they had the gas money. So there's no excuse not to go to church. I go put a guy up, and Teresa does. County called me down here, and he's been here before, you know, and the guy, and he'd been to jail, and they got out, and now he ain't got nowhere to go, you know. So they called me up, the police down here called me up, hey, Pastor, hey, yeah. Hey, so-and-so, and yeah, I know him, yeah. Well, yeah. He said, you got anywhere he can stay? I said, no, we don't got nowhere he can stay, you know. I said, so I said, let me call you back in just a few minutes. So me and Teresa talked about it a little bit, and so we come up. I called a motel over there to see how much it cost to put him up 2 or 3 days, you know, and all of that, you know. And I'm telling you this for a reason, you know. So I called him up, and I said, well, where you at? He said, I'm down at the police station. I said, well, I'll be down there in a few minutes. So I just get my clothes on, and I come down here, and, well, the guy's standing out there, you know, and I hand him the money, you know. And I said, here, man. I said, I called down there, get you a motel for 3 days. You know, like, I'm coming to church, Brother Scotty. I'm ready to come to church. And I thought, I'm going to have to hunt him up. Because he lied. Now, see, what I'm telling you this is, God used me or you to intervene in their life and to help them. And I told him, I said, now you've got 3 days to figure out what you're going to do, what you are going to do. I'm going back home, go sleep, right? If you're under the bridge after 3 days, it's your fault because you had 3 days to turn to the Lord. You had 3 days. You had my number. I'll come get you and bring you to church. This is the only way God can move for people like that. And they don't connect the dots. I mean, God asked you to tithe, and you still ain't tithed after 30 years. Well, I'm on a fixed income. That's what I told my mama. My mama left all of us money on a fixed $650 a month. Come on, somebody. It ain't God trying to take away from you. It's God trying to take care of you. Trying to get you to have a good foundation based on the Word of God in your heart, that when times does get hard, or they do get hard, you are took care of. You know what? God even used me and Teresa. I bought her car, my mama cars, and paid cash. Me and Teresa pretty much bought her winter heating gas and stuff. We took finances out of our own pocket. We give her our home, hallelujah. Now, I'm not bragging on us, but see, God blessed us with a nice house. We were willing to give. But you know why I'm telling you that? Because but 27 years old, I was bumming off my mama and him. Bumming off of them. So I figure after I get born again, the Bible says, honor my mother and father. That's why I say, young folk today, if you've got a job and you're living at home, full-time job and living at home, you ought to give your parents $50 a week. Boy, y'all parents don't even agree with that. Y'all can't take it. Oh, well, we don't want them to suffer. They're suffering. They're already on their way to suffering, and parents help them to stay there. Responsibility. When the parents puts responsibility on the young men, that helps them to become a man. That's what Monty was talking about. That helps them to become a man. I know what I'm talking about because I did it with Travis. And I had to bypass my emotions. I had to bypass giving him everything. I had to lay all of that false love down because my love for him wanted him to be a man, to be able to be a man on his own, to be able to raise his kids, to be able to be functional and help me if I need him to. Instead of just wanting me to do everything for him, then I want him to do something for me, and he's like, just like I heard the other day, they go, "Oh, we don't go around Dad much because, man, he just keeps us busy all the time." Travis, don't think that way to me because I don't ask him to do. I don't put that on. I don't disrespect him. So y'all young kids, when you get you a full-time job, help your parents. I mean, $200 a month would help the parents greatly. "Well, I got to save for me." No, cut the cell phone off. You don't even need it. Save that money every month to buy you get you an apartment. Don't go out and eat. Go buy you a bag of loaf bread and go buy you. I mean, we're on life here, man. Look, I'm not going to preach this word just like preach it and not give you some understanding of what you got to do. You got to do things, work with God. I mean, I started having to work with God 27. I was rebellious, Johnny. Ain't nobody telling me nothing. Me and Teresa, we could live that song. Anybody gonna tell us nothing? And they didn't. Nobody told us nothing. After we got together, black God, we was like Bunny and Clyde, man. I mean, we got together, there ain't nobody gonna tell us nothing. And I mean, we lived that way until we got saved. And I mean, that was some hardship in my life after I got saved. So if you are a teenager at home and ain't nobody going to tell you nothing, if I was your parents, I'd just pack your clothes and tell you this is the last thing I'm going to tell you. Go. I'm solving your problem. Because you don't want to be told nothing. You don't want no rules. You don't want to go to church. You live at my house. You are going to church. I didn't make Travis go to revivals, but when we go into church, you ain't going to lay in my house at 16 years old and not go to church. Oh, he left notes when he was a kid and all that. I hate fasting. I hate reading the Bible. I hate that. I'd tell him, pick out your... I mean, I know I'm getting all up here and people's probably dropping me like flies out there. I don't care. Stay in trouble. If you want God's anointing, if you want your family to turn out normal, normal is balanced in God, loving God, enjoying. I'm fixing to leave you. I'm going to fish this afternoon. I'm going to Mentone, Fort Payne. Got a big bass pond out behind it, Johnny. Got a hot tub. I'm not broke. You're not. You're rich. You just got to get in line with it. Be willing to help somebody like that, dude. That's why I'm blessed. I bless God. I bust him $200 or $300, me and Teresa did. And she goes in there. She come in there the other day, and I said, I'm going to help my sister out here. See, you're hearing this stuff, and you're saying, well, I had money. Well, I'm trying to tell you how to get it. You can go to a few years down the road. You start doing. The Bible says if a man knows to do right and don't do it, it's sin. If you know to honor your mother and father and you don't, what is it? What's the wages of sin? According to Romans, it'll bring destruction. You know? I mean, it's just like Monty. He has to submit to me. He does. I mean, he does. But, you know, I would imagine, I mean, he'd be like, I'm older than you. I had a guy one time, he said, I can't hardly submit to you, man. You're young. I'm 25 years older than you. I said, well, that ain't got nothing to do with it, does it? According to the Bible. I said, you know, I mean, they go in there and they pick all of these big guys. They think he's going to be anointed to be king, and it's some little snotty-nosed teenager. See, it's got to do with place. See, when the teenagers honor the Lord, honor their parents, they're honoring the Lord. And you know what? I demand it out of my grandkids. Oh, they want to go with us today. And so they come down there and he says, Papa, hey, Papa, can I ask you something? I said, yeah. He said, I need a popsicle. I said, well, run down there and tell Grandma. I said, just go on. Y'all go down there and get a popsicle from Grandma. Go on. And they're a little nervous. Go down. Grandma's unexpected, you know. They already know, you know, don't just show up at my house, you know. Let me know you're coming. Don't come down here all every day, like just run down here. Now, for me, I call them, come on! You know, and so anyway, they're coming back up there, and it was brought up about where we're going. Yeah, and I said, well, go ask Grandma if y'all can go. I said, I don't care. I really don't care if you go. But you go ask Grandma. And Aubrey, she said, Aiden, you're going to ask her. And so I said, y'all go on. Y'all go. Go down there and ask her. So they go off down there, you know. And then I hollered at Aubrey. I said, Aubrey. I said, now. I said, because I know what the answer is. It's going to be no, Johnny. This has not been settled at our house. But you know what? She needs to be able to take no without an attitude. And I'm doing it on purpose. And so I hollered at her about halfway down there. I said, Aubrey. Yeah. I said, listen now. I said, if Grandma says no, I said, don't start crying and get an attitude. Do y'all see anything wrong with that, or is it just me? I mean, am I weird or what? I need to teach her, she's seven, that somebody can tell you no, and then you can just submit to God with it. See, I'm teaching her to submit to God. When she said, oh, I want that hunk, that little boy, I want him. Lord, I want him. When she gets up there and he says no, she won't go,
I'm getting him anyway.
See, these things right here, and see, now we're going to try to get off y'all teenagers. Pay your parents. If you've got a full-time job and you're living with them, don't even sign up for food stamps. Be a man. Go to work. Work hard. Get promotions. Get big raises. And before you know it, you'll be out of there and you will have honored God and God will have promoted you. Be different. Be different. Be unique. Be the one that you lead in the way of people seeing how to really honor God as a young man or a young woman. Be it. Be it, and God will bless you. I mean, He will just bless you. And you know what you'll be doing? You will actually be building a foundation in you based on the Word of God. Honor your mother and father. That is a foundation that you need to have to honor the Lord, to where the blessing of the Lord will be on your life and in your life and working in your life and working. Yeah, good to see you, Mag. And down to us. I mean, you know, I was thinking about the two foundations put them up there, Beth. Luke, whatever it is. Yeah. Why call you me Lord and do not the things which I say? Whosoever comes to me and hears these sayings. What sayings? This Bible. This Bible. Before Jesus gets to this right here, these two foundations, I'm one of these foundations. I'm one. And when I read this and heard sermons, I thought I've got to get everything out of my heart that's not right, so that when I build the Word, it'll be built on Jesus, on the solid foundation of truth. Jesus said, if you continue in my Word, so shall you be my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But if you don't continue in it, whoever hears these sayings of mine and do them, somebody say do them. Well, the first thing I was reading this Bible when I was 27 years old, and I'd made a lot of enemies. I mean, I'd made enemies, you know. I mean, young kids hanging out on Friday night, man. I mean, different things happening and different things. And then I meet Teresa, and I'm really jealous, and I really made some enemies, you know, and everything. And so I'm reading the Bible later, I get born again. And I'm reading in there, and it says, love your enemies. And I shut that Bible. And I thought, bless God, I don't like that. Teresa, what is it? I said, I don't like that. It said, love your enemies. See, we hear it here in church at this time, but I've never heard that. I mean, I've heard, you know, in church, just don't mess with nobody and you don't get no fights and all that. Never heard, you know, slap something to somebody, slaps you on the right, turn the other cheek. I've never heard none of that, even in the churches, but maybe I wasn't paying attention. I mean, but you know, okay. Now, Jesus said, Scotty, why do you call me Lord and you won't love your enemies? You won't do the things that I say. He was speaking to me. And so I'm like, nah, man, God don't expect me. These people have done me wrong. These people, God don't expect me to love them. My mind is going off, okay? Why? I've been trained out here in the world. My daddy told me the bigger a man was, the harder that he'll hit the ground. And be on him before he hits the ground. While he's going down, get him. And I was fast. They wanted me to play football in school, man. And so I didn't know how to play. Football, catch it and run. Well, I caught the ball. They threw it to me, and I caught it and turned around, went and made a touchdown the wrong way. I didn't get to play no more. That's a true story. I could run barefooted, man. I mean, whoo, I was raised barefoot. Barefoot and underwear in the wintertime. Sitting out on a pile of logs in the sun to stay warm. I got pictures. I can show you. So, if we don't want our kids to go through nothing, come on now, I'm telling you, when they get up and have to plant that garden and all that stuff and how to go, you know, do things for, I mean, they can take some heat, Mac. Aubrey, the other day, I'm melting. It was hot out there, Johnny. She'd been locked in the house for 3 or 4 days in the air condition. You get out in 80 degrees, I'm not even sweating yet. I'm like, no, it's cool out here. And she's like, Papa, I'm going to melt. She told Teresa that, sitting in the back of the truck, her little chicks was ready. I'm going to melt. I'm like, you're not going to melt, Aubrey. You need to stay out here with Papa in the garden. You know, I think it's godly that she does. Follow after those who through faith. I got scripture for it. You follow Papa. Follow after those who through faith and patience get some tomatoes. Get some cucumbers and squash and teaching godly traits. Teaching them how to depend on God and have a work ethic. I want somebody works for me that is not there just for the money. They're there to be a team player. They're there to help me make money. And I'm going to pay you to help me make money. I want them with that mentality. Without God, they won't have it. You owe me. I want $20 an hour. I ain't working. No, you start flipping hamburgers if you need to. Nothing wrong with that. Tithe on it. You can own that joint. Had one young lady, she told me, she said, but see, now you, if you don't want to acknowledge God, now I'm talking to the grown-ups too. If we don't want to acknowledge God, the Bible says the hand of the diligent will bear rue. The hand of the lazy, the slothful, will be put to forced labor. The guy comes to work for me and he don't feel highly of himself, and I know it. And so Travis puts this on there, we're the door kings. In Facebook, I believe we are. We're some of the best. 30 years, of praying over it and fasting over the business and asking God for wisdom and asking Him to help me and asking Him and seeking Him and not putting it first and putting God for His anointing is on it. It's on you. When you are like that, it ain't got to be business. It's got to be your heart. Honoring God and God's promises and God's power comes on it, and you end up here. The things come against you, but it can't shake you. This is just a parable. He's talking about our whole life. See, I'm totally convinced that you don't have to ever let a car go back. I believe it's ungodly for you to sign for a car and then let it go back. Ungodly. I believe it's ungodly for a Christian to believe for a house and the payments are $1,000, you don't care, you want in the house, and then a year later the $1,000 is smothering you. Well, you knew it. Travis bought a motorcycle one time, one he wrecked, and I helped him. I did help him. But anyways, he said, the payments is just this. I said, how many months? And I had my calculator out, Matt, because I know the interest is way up there. And so I figured it up, you know. And I said, there's what you're going to pay for that buy. He want it. He want it. He just going to have it anyhow. It's not wisdom for you to want something when you know that it's going to cost you majorly. But he was young, and I was like, if that's what I wanted, I'd get it, because I thought, suffer. He needs to suffer now, you know. So he goes on, gets that bite, and he ends up having a wreck, you know, and all that stuff. So the insurance company come over there, and they looked at it, and he says, he calls me. He said, we can do this to it. I said, no, I want it totaled. I said, look at that frame. Look at there, right there behind the, I said, I want it totaled. I don't want it fixed. It's not safe anymore. I didn't believe it was. Well, they totaled it and paid it off. He's never done that again. I told him, I said, the Lord delivered you from that high. You're going to pay double what you could pay cash for that bike. If you could pay cash for it, you're going to pay double. What am I doing? I'm teaching him how not to get robbed. I told him when he bought his house, I said, don't buy that house with a revolving door on the interest. Do not do it. You tell them you want a fixed interest. Fixed. You know what would have happened to him if he hadn't have did that? Right now, his payments would have went up about $250 to $300 a month because interest rates went up. When interest rates goes up, that payment goes up. See, now, if you're ever going to buy a house, remember this. This is God giving you wisdom. Get it on a fixed rate. Fixed. The Word fixes us where we ain't going to be moved. See, but we got to build a good foundation. And how you do it is not just hearing the Word of God. The Bible says, be attentive to what you hear. For the measure that you put into action, you use. Will be measured. Now, I had to make a conscious decision that I was going to love those that I hated. God told me, He said, my word is not to destroy you. It's not to kill you. He said, it's to set you free. The word is not trying to take you down. The word is trying to take. God can't do it until I get in agreement. He can't. Now, I don't believe that. God's sovereign. Well, then why are people being murdered? God is sovereign, but God's bound. He give the earth, some says, to the sons of men. He give this earth to us to govern. He loaned us this earth to bring the kingdom down and operate in the kingdom and let His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. The more that our foundation, what we believe, why you need to ask yourself, why do you believe what you believe? And then go to that Bible and start digging up everything that you believe wrong and planting back in everything that is right. Because that foundation is going to bring you a harvest in your life, in your future. It absolutely will. He says, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation. So I took the Word of God and I'm giving you an example of how to apply. Just a small example, because I didn't know how. I don't know what I'm doing other than the Lord telling me that. I've been saved about 6 months. And I am one angry dude even after I get born again. I'm still angry. My emotions and feelings and mind didn't get saved. I got born again in here, and I knew that I was saved. I knew that I wanted the things of God. I knew my spirit wanted the Lord, you know. In my heart, I wanted the Lord. That's what way we say it. But this flesh hadn't been dealt with. And so I took that and I said, okay, Lord, I got to be a doer of your word. That's what James said over there. So I took that and I meditated. I said it. I said, I love my enemies. Lord, according to your word, I love my enemies. I'm going to be obedient to you. I love those. I love them. I love them. I didn't feel nothing, Matt. I still wanted to go shoot some people. I still had plans of doing things to people later. I planned things that I was going to do, praise the Lord. But anyway, now God's trying to keep me from prison and stuff. You know, because my plans are going to bring destruction. But I really don't care. I want to bring some equalization into this thing. How many knows that the Bible says, I didn't know it, but the Bible says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I'll repay. You don't take vengeance. Well, it wasn't too long after that till I honestly didn't have hatred towards nobody like I once did. I wasn't completely set free from it. But that word was setting me free. Kind of like fertilizer does to a mater plant. You put it in the ground, you don't usually see anything for a few days, and then it'll start getting greener, and you know, and everything will, and all that stuff. That's the way the Word of God does. The Word of God goes in and it begins to build. It begins to build, what am I trying to say here? Healthy. Yeah. Foundation begins to bring healthy things into our existence. Give me the next scripture, Beth. I think it's Hebrews 4. You said it. Yeah, when he said that, that's the only one I had. I thought, thank you, Lord. I didn't need no confirmation at what you want, but praise God, it come up in Johnny's spirit. See, now this is why you need to read the Bible. Because the Bible is not just, it's not dead words. But you need to talk to the Lord and have a relationship with the Lord and not just be, you know, wanting the promises of God without the relationship with the Lord. You know, the relationship with the Lord is what's going to cause this to come alive that is already alive in your life. And when it comes to a life in your life, it brings overcoming power. That word brings overcoming power. It's called faith. 1 John 5:4. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. That's why you can't think, sit down and think, well, I'll never get out of this anger. I'll never have a good life. I can't honor my mother and father. They won't let me. I had somebody tell me one time, they said, well, my parents are just not honorable. I said, What translation you got of the Bible? That they're supposed to be honorable. I said, I've never read it. That they're supposed to be honorable before you honor. I said, what translation you get? I said, I'm not trying to make you mad. I said, but see, you're using an excuse here, and you're not going to allow the power of God to come into your life because you don't think they deserve honor. And so you're going to dishonor God. I said, that's the way it is. I said, you can think any way you want. I said, then what you do is you turn God off. You turn him off. You turn this power right here off. The Word of God is quick and powerful. Powerful. Some of you ain't never experienced the Word of God. You've heard it and heard it and heard it. I don't feel like I'm saved all the time. I know I am. I'll never probably feel that feeling again when I got saved. I'm fixing to commit suicide. Maybe you wasn't there when you got saved. So I had a different experience. I didn't want to kill myself anymore. Did lightning fry my hair? No. I mean, it's just, he came in, I didn't know he came in. And when he came in, then I'm like, what's happening? What happened? I'm wondering what happened. It wasn't no big major, boom, God, woo! It was just like, I don't want to die no more. What's changed? The sun was shining. You know, it was shining before I got saved. It was shining in, and it was so bright, but it was dark in there before. See, it wasn't that it got brighter. I got born again. I got saved. I'm like, Then I had this thought, see if there's some preaching on TV. I'm like, no, man, no preaching. So I go turn it on, Mac. That wasn't me talking. See, what I did is I let the Word of God come in. I let the powerful, quickening. When I tithe, that Word's powerful in my life. When I give, that Word's powerful in my life. Why? Because it says that He gives seed to the sower. So there's more seed coming because I'm sowing. See, now that's just not up here to me. That's in here to me. That's why I can't give my way broke. You can't give your way broke. Listen, when you love your enemies, you enter into a new dimension of power that you never have experienced and won't. You can only hear about it, and it won't really be real to you, but you can experience a power that brings you above defeat. And then you feel good. Oh, yeah, I'm a free man. I mean, when I got free, Johnny, I was like, woo, hallelujah. I'd have this thought to be jealous of Teresa, and I'd be like, no, I'm a free man. And I'd tell Satan, no, who the Son set free is free. And I wasn't having to say it by faith anymore. I mean, but God, that Word, I let that Word get past my mind by meditating. That's why He told Joshua. See, before that, I was meditating on how to kill them. I was meditating on how to hurt them. I was meditating on how to bring vengeance. I was meditating day and night on the wrong stuff. And it caused me to get more angry and more angry. And you can do that with your parents, kids. Like they're old folk, you know, and you meditate on that and think that and say that. That's what that'll be to you. And then you won't glean off of the God connection that He put. Man, my son's never raised his voice to me. Y'all should never raise your voice to your parents. Never. Out of respect. Out of respect. Travis and them, Beth, here right back. Aubrey, she's a little quick temper. Had a little. We're helping her out of it, Mac. She's not going to be raised up angry. Not going to happen. She's going to walk in love and be a peaceful kid for her own self. Well, out there, she said something. I said something. I don't know. And she kind of got a little loud with me. She didn't like scream at me or nothing. And Beth says, Aubrey! Don't you talk to Papa like that. Don't you raise your voice to Papa. See, that is honorable. That right there. Why? Because she's bringing godly check. See, because that's in line with the Word of God. And so Aubrey, you know, she stopped that. Now she don't like something. She don't get loud now. She just like... Stuck her tongue out at me this morning back there and messing with her, and I went, popped her on the lips. She said, stop, Papa. I went, yeah. She leaned up. She said, Papa, what's this? Stop. And then I went, I'm bringing this hand around. She went, she's going to lick my fingers, man. I said, you ain't getting that on my fingers. I have fun, but I'm not going to provoke her to anger. See, we got to build a good family. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any. And you know what? Sitting at home in TV land, you do not get the anointing on what you would get in a good anointed, service where you are sitting in it. I don't never feel goosebumps with Jensen Franklin. But I do hear at times. I'm like, whoo, he's all up in here. Now, I get truth from Jensen. I get truth from these guys and all of that. But there is something about coming together that you won't get things nowhere else. You will not get it. You won't get it on the TV. You won't get it fasting and praying. Like some things God has anointed that only in the place that He puts you, and you go and you sacrifice and you do what you have to do to be faithful, will you get some things from the Lord that'll revolutionary your life. I mean, there's people going to go to heaven and He's going to say, well, I set this church up for you. They're going to say, well, I mean, I didn't see the need and all that. And He's going to say, look at all the stuff you left. You could have enjoyed all of this. And I had all this laid out for you on the path that I picked out for you. The steps of the righteous are what? Ordained of the Lord, ordered of the Lord. It's not we pick and choose. We find His will. I'm big on that. Find the will of God. Faith begins where the will of God is known. See, and these young teenagers, they're like, well, I don't know how we're going to make it. I'm telling God one time, Mac, after we get saved, I'm like, God, if somebody would just give us a break. If somebody would give us a break, we could have something. You know, if somebody would just give us a break. And the Lord spoke to me after whining for a week or two. The Lord spoke to me and He said, I gave you a break. I gave you Jesus. And He is everything that you need. He is the way. He is the truth. And He is your life. And so I thought, wow, man. And so late, as time goes by, the Lord began to tell me, son, if you'll serve me, He's telling you today. He's no respecter of persons. You understand? What He'll do for one, He'll do for them all. But I'm sitting there, and I got my mind, I'm thinking about the Lord. And He said, son, He said, if you'll follow me, He said, I'll bring you the place to where you want nothing. I'm telling you right now, if you will follow the Lord, you'll be so satisfied in your life after your walk with the Lord in a short period of time, you'll be like, whoa, Wayne, I've been following Him all the time. If I had it to do over, I wish they would have spanked me with the anointing when I come out of my mama. And had Jesus the whole time. Because boy, hallelujah. I mean, 27 years of my life, I pushed Him out. I pushed Him out. I pushed Him out. Almost got Teresa addicted to drugs, crack cocaine. You know, almost got her addicted. When I backslid and I figured out I go out. I mean, the anointing is in your life after you're born again. I go out in my shed and I took a guy. I said, look, I said, I want a quarter of pot. I want some pot. No, man, you're a preacher. I said, I'm backslidden. Now shut up. If I won't preach, I'll go to church. I said, don't talk to me about the Lord. I said, all I need for you to do is go to the drug dealer and get me a bag of pot. And keep your mouth shut. So he goes, buys me a bag of pot, carry him over there. And I said, roll up one, man. I'm ready. I hadn't had a joint in a long time. So he rolls up a joint, we smoke it, and I'm like, man, something wrong. So roll up another one. That must be some homegrown or something. You know? Looked over there, man, he's stoned. And I'm like, hey, are you stoned or what? Man, that's some good smoke. And I'm like, it is? I'm like, God, bum. I'm not even high. You know? And so I told him, I said, all right, man, listen. I said, don't roll up another one. You're stoned already. I said, just. Give me about a dime baggie out of that. I said, and he did. And I said, you take the rest of it home with you. I said, I just wanted a few joints, you know. You sure, man? I said, yeah, man, I want you to have it. So anyhow, I get out in the shed out there. bought me a six-pack of Budweiser. And I'm out there, you know, and I go out there in the shed, and I'm rolling another one up. I was thinking, well, maybe that was just not the good part. I'm telling you this for a reason, man. You know, and you've got an anointing on your life. You know, and I rolled up another one, and I swallowed a Budweiser, you know, and I smoked about half of that one, and then I couldn't get high. And then I stood there, and I thought, man, God, it's you. I can't even get high. And then I said, Lord, would you just leave me alone? And I mean, I lost the anointing right then. And I was stoned. You can believe what I'm telling you or not. I was there. I was stoned. We went 2 or 3 days, and then Tricia, she wants some crack, and I'm about, you know, and all that stuff. And I'm laying there one night, about the third night, and I'm laying there stoned, and Satan's tormenting me. He's telling me, you're going to hell. You're going to die tonight. You going, and I mean, I tried to muster faith up, man. I mean, I'm like, I mean, I'm saying I'm born again. I just didn't have it. I'm laying there, and I'm tormented. You know, the devil, you're not going to make it, and Teresa ain't never going to serve the Lord. You've led her. I'm hearing these thoughts. These thoughts are coming to my mind. And I'm like, man, you have just screwed your whole family up. Man, we had it going on with Jesus. You know, and finally, I fell off to sleep. And when my eyes opened up the next morning, God had granted me repentance. I rolled off of that bed on my knees, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. Oh, Jesus, would you forgive me? Forgive me, Lord, for leading my family in this. Lord, would you forgive me? Lord, I need you to help me. And he forgave me. I mean, I felt it, and I got up, bless God, and I believed I received it, praise the Lord. And you know what? Then I carried Teresa to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I've let her go too far. She don't want nothing to do with the Lord. She don't want nothing to do with church or nothing anymore, Lord. You know, I've let her go too far, Lord. You know, and so I just gave her to the Lord, and it wasn't too long. I don't remember what she had a visitation, didn't you? She had a visitation from the Lord, and we've never been the same. She had a visitation from the Lord, and we'll never backslide again. So we've been. People say, well, you know, once saved, always saved. I'm not saying you can get saved 2 or 3 times. Bless God, you can walk away and you can miss your destination. You can't make me believe you can't, because I know I had no faith, and Jesus lives in our heart by faith. Right? So why would I want to chance it? Just go after him. Now, after all of that, that word, the more you build the word in your life, the freer you will get from yourself. Satan is not even your problem. He tries to trick you. That'd be like somebody coming to my house and saying, well, you know, I seen your wife mowing. She's kind of cute. Reckon I could spend a little time with her? Well, he'd be a fool, wouldn't he, man? I don't even have to entertain that. I'd be like, nah, man, are you stupid? You shouldn't even be looking at her mowing. Keep your eyes on the road, man. You run off in that ditch up there. You know, what I'm saying is, that's the way Satan is with me. He comes with thought, and I instantly know it. I just know that it's him. I know when it's me. Why? Because the more that you build the Word of God, the more of the foundation of the kingdom you will have operating in your heart, and your mind won't operate like it used to in this reasoning center. It will be lined up with your spirit and your heart, praise God. And I mean, it will discern thoughts. The Word, right there, it says. The Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder soul and spirit, and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and even the intents. So see, the more that we build the Word of God into our life, building a good foundation, building on that the foundation, Jesus, you know, the more that we'll know. That enemy ain't got no new tricks. He ain't got no special tricks. All he's got is this flesh. You, me and you, are more dangerous to ourselves than the devil, because Satan has been stripped of all power and he has no weapons formed against the body, will prosper. He actually give us power over all the power of the devil. Somebody told me the other day, they said, yeah, every time we want to come to church, the devil. The devil ain't stopping nobody from going to church. He don't got that kind of power. There's no way he can stop. You might be fooled into thinking that it's him, but no, you can set your clock and you can get up and you can take a bath and you can brush your teeth and you can get it coming, all your pain and everything you're going through like the rest of us are. You have a choice, and there ain't no devil big enough. Satan done stripped him to make you not do the will of God. Not do the will of God, you cannot blame it on the devil. You can blame him, but you, it's not true. We're more than conquerors. Let's bow our heads. I'm done past time. Father, we praise you.